North Carolina's voucher programs have continued to expand over the past 5 years. In the second of a three-part series, Liz Schlemmer reports a majority of school voucher recipients in this state use the tax-funded scholarships to go to religious schools.
It's a Saturday morning, and that means the Cortez family is at church. They are faithful Seventh-day Adventists. 11-year-old Eddie plays the piano to start the service. Dad Eddie Sr. sits in the first church pew next to 15-year-old Moffer and 13-year-old Natalie, who lean on their mom, Heidi.
Worship time for us is family time.
The family's faith is central to their lives. And for the past 6 years, the kids have also gone to school at the small academy run by their church.
We just try to have fun with the kids and teach them to grow physically, mentally, and spiritually, Christ-centered.
But the kids used to go to public school.
And I tell you something, I moved to Raleigh because of the school system. I read that Wake County was one of the best school system, like in the country.
Heidi and Eddie are immigrants from Venezuela. She was a lawyer and he was a computer engineer there, but they had to start over in the U.S. They moved to Connecticut, then Raleigh. Now she's an interpreter and he works in construction. They say their experience as immigrants is part of why they value education.
Education for us is top one of our priorities in our life as a family.
All three of the kids went to their local public schools until their oldest daughter, Maria Fernanda, nicknamed Moffer, started having some trouble in about third grade. Moffer has a very mild disability from a stroke she suffered at birth. She holds her hand differently and walks a little differently.
That was a very easy target for other kids to make fun of her.
They said that I was autistic, that I had a disability, that I wasn't like other boys and girls in the entire school, and so I actually used to go home and cry and tell my parents everything that was going on.
They talked about it and made a big decision.
We just decided to do the big sacrifice and move our child from the public school system to this little school. It was very small. So when it's a school of 20 kids, 30 kids, 40 kids, you know everybody. Everybody know you.
They loved it. They'd always kind of wanted to send their kids to the Seventh-day Adventist school. Then the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary happened. 20 kindergartners shot to death in the family's former state of Connecticut.
And it was so painful that I didn't send my boy to school like for a week. I felt that my child wasn't safe. I just wanted to move him to home or to this little environment with just 20, 25 kids.
They moved their two younger kids to the Adventist school, too. But paying the tuition was tough, at about $4,300 per child.
Financially, it's a struggle because, again, it's a lot of money.
Then Heidi learned about the Opportunity Scholarship, a voucher from the state for low-income families worth $4,200 a year to pay for private school tuition.
And they denied it to us because they needed to be in a public school at the moment of the application.
To qualify for the voucher, they had to be coming from a public school. So they had to make another decision. Would they put their kids back in public school to be eligible for the scholarship? Moffer was already in high school, and they decided not to move her.
But for the little ones, we took them and we put them in a public school system for a year, so we were able to apply for the scholarship.
Heidi says they were all open to the idea of keeping Natalie and Eddie in public school, but ultimately decided against it.
It wasn't what I wanted for my kids. Again, my kids weren't just a little person in a huge group, and they kind of get lost in the middle of everything.
Heidi applied for the Opportunity Scholarship for Natalie and Eddie, got it, and put them back in the Adventist Christian Academy. She says they're not the only ones who did that. And the school is growing.
And a lot of that growth is because of the Opportunity Scholarship.
Many other private schools could grow as well. The state legislature has planned to expand the program. The state budget will add another $10 million each year to the program for the next 10 years, unless future legislatures change that. In 2028, the state could be paying about $145 million for the program. That's close to how much the state spent on the salaries of all the principals in North Carolina last year, a sign of competing budget priorities. Then there is the issue of separation of church and state. Bill Leonard is an expert on the topic. He's a Baptist minister and a professor at the Wake Forest School of Divinity.
Underneath all this is the question of tax dollars being used to support those schools from individuals who have no voice in those particular schools and no real representation, unlike public schools and school boards and the like.
Critics of the program say that representation is necessary for accountability, and that accountability is lacking. About 4 out of 5 schools that get North Carolina vouchers are religious, and religious institutions are not required to file taxes. Only about 10 schools in the program are required to submit any financial information to the state, and they have full discretion on which students they enroll. That means they can discriminate on religious grounds. On the flip side of taxpayer concerns, Leonard says religious institutions have often been wary of receiving government funding.
Because they did not want to be tainted in any way by government control.
Many religious schools in North Carolina have chosen not to receive vouchers. Leonard says in a perfect world, churches would raise the money to fully support their religious schools and create scholarships for students like the Cortez kids.
What I would have hoped is that the community of faith would open their hearts and their pocketbooks to that family without having to step into that larger issue of the use of taxpayer money, because it's their school. It's not a public school.
Heidi says she is grateful they receive help from the state to send her kids to the Adventist Christian Academy. Her kids say they really like their little school, but they didn't mind public school so much either.
They would like to go to a big school with a lot of kids, with not a lot of supervision, you know. Yes, they had told me like sometimes they wanted to like have the full experience because it's fun.
Heidi says she feels better having her kids get a Christian education in a small family-like environment.
And this is the way that I think. So the future will tell us if I was right or not.
She says she always liked the phrase, mother knows best. Liz Schlemmer, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.